Chapter 4. Lysander. Ajax, son of Arja. Upon landing on the Anihilo, Diomedes and I lead the Rim deputation down a corridor of Asgard. Instead of the ceremonial armor appropriate for the reception of enemy dignitaries, Atalantia's elite wear field armor. Perhaps that is because they do not formally recognize the Rim's independence. The beetle-black metal of the field armor is dented and scuffed from war on four spheres, but the Pearl House Grimace skulls upon their breastplates are polished to a gleam. The slight was not meant to go unnoticed, nor does it. This is not the welcome for a prodigal son or an old ally. This is a presentation of force to blood traitors. As we pass the rows of hostile greys, I wonder how many of them Atalantia pillaged from my Praetorians and my family legions. I search, but find no Praetorians. No Ronti Flavinius, no Exter Tican, nor even Fauster Tihu, standing as officers before the ranks. At the end of the corridor of Asgard, 10 calamitously large obsidian-stained stomp their axe-hafts into the deck to bar our path to the waiting cadre of core golds. The stained step to the side, and for the first time in a decade, the two breeds of aureate measure one another face to face. The golds of the core, battle-scarred and vain, drip in priceless armor gilded and monstrously shaped by the finest artificers the worlds have ever seen. Most wear their hair short, in war fashion, and their eyebrows notched. Their thick-boned frames are fortressed by heavy muscle, grown under strict prenatal observation, esoteric chemical protocols, and tenacious physical competition with their peers. I would not say they are humanity perfected. They seem more like racing thoroughbreds, jockeying for position. In comparison, the golds of the Rim are lean and shabby, their bodies, like their culture, hardened by privation and self-discipline. They wear their hair long, preferring to comb it before battle, in the way of the Peloponnesians. They are clad in simple leather boots and drab robes they sewed themselves. Not one amongst them wears anything that couldn't be bought at a low-colour bazaar for 50 credits, except their Kitari short swords and their long razors, which they call hasta. The silence between the two parties stretches with contempt. When at last one of the core golds speaks, it is a Martian I long thought dead. The winged shoulders of her swan armor are dented, but the flaming heart of her breastplate burns bright in the drab hanger. Her face, smooth as alabaster in memory, is now tough as a miner's heel. But not even war could dim the spark in the eyes of Kalindora Ausan, the Love Knight. I remember her as a demure, gentle creature in love not with glory of war, but the grace of poetry and architecture. When I was a boy, I held only one other woman her age in equal esteem, Virginia Our Augustus, the wife of the Reaper and my grandmother's usurper. As a man, I behold Kalindora far differently. Even Diomedes takes a second look. Her lips, though riven by 2 scars, are full, and seem only capable of whispers. Her nose is small and sharp, but her defining characteristic is her eyes. Every gradient of gold that exists spirals toward the pit of her pupils, paling in hue as they approach that darkness, so it seems as if one stares at an eclipse. "Is it him?" Kalindora asks a taller, younger knight in armour the colour of a storm cloud. His skin is black, his eyes violent amber. The pelt of a pearl leopard sways from his powerful shoulders as he steps forward to examine me. For a moment it feels as if we're both looking through a dirty pane of glass, leaning and squinting to see if the apparition on the other side is really a long-lost friend, or merely some trick. I barely recognize the man I once called brother. Only the long lashes of his eyes are the same. In the 11 years since I last saw him, his plump features, often an item of hushed ridicule on the Palatine, have melted away to reveal an Adonic visage so surly, so passionate, so manly, even Cassius might, in a drunken moment, declare some minor flaw in the man in hopes of diluting his own utter jealousy. Octavia was always disappointed in her little genetic experiment. She would not be now. Ajax, son of the loveless genetic union of Aja and Atlas Aura, is a masculine specimen. By the phallera that bedeck Ajax's armour, I see he has already fulfilled his childhood dreams. He wears not just his peerless scar, but insignia signifying the office of Storm Knight, and the rank of a full legate infantry commander. With my scarless face and my drab civilian vestments, before the two Olympic knights, I feel my 10-year absence more acutely than ever.
"You are the man who claims to be Lysander Auloon,"
Ajax sneers. "Ajax!" Mistaking his tone for banter, I reach to embrace him. The stained block my path. I actually feel wounded. "Don't you recognize me?" Ajax's eyes narrow to slits.
"Test him with the manteo."
In Greek, it means oracle. I've played with oracles before. My heart sinks. Then a pink slave glides forward to present me not with one of grandmother's pale truth-measuring creatures, but with a black metal orb ringed with serpents. In the centre of the orb is an upturned needle.
"A drop of blood, if it please the Dominus."
Though it may look kinder than my grandmother's oracles, I suffer no delusions. The needle will be coated with a DNA-coded poison. If I prove an impostor, my death will be a misery so profane it could only be designed by the cruelest of Venusian alchemists, the best of which Atalantia has on permanent retainer. Even if I prove my identity, the fate may be the same. The fact that Atalantia has my DNA at all suggests the depth of her intelligence operations. Owing to 2 sophisticated poisonings of sovereigns and 1 dreadful incident of cloning, my family guards their DNA as if it were life itself. Why else would we convince the rest of the Oriat to embrace the ritual of shooting the deceased into the sun? Because it looks pretty? Nothing is to be left behind. I prick a thumb with the needle. The Korgold's watch as a single drop of blood rolls down the needle to be absorbed into the metal. Whatever poison it contained does not activate. If Atalantia didn't have my DNA before, now she does. The orb ripples with wonderful ingenuity as the serpents carve paths along its exterior until a bust of my pre-adolescent face stares back at me. The slave returns it to Ajax. He examines the face.
"DNA profile confirmed," a bald green adjunct says. His pupils glow from his uplink. "Security helix processing."
A lengthy pause. Kalindora turns, but Ajax's eyes never leave my face.
"DNA profile authenticated. Forgery probability 1 in 13 trillion.
"I concur," Kalindora says. Her demeanour softens. The Korgolds stiffen at the news, their competitive brains calculating how my return affects their individual machinations. Still unconvinced, Ajax tosses the manteo to the slave.
"What did my grandfather say to my mother the night he had her execute Flavius Al Greco?"
I don't smile at the memory. Now that the pig is filleted and eaten, what's for dessert?
His eyes widen.
"Brother!"
He springs through the obsidians to rattle my bones with a powerful hug that lifts my feet clean off the deck. This is the Ajax I remember, the kind, generous brother who could never bridle either affection or fury.
I'm sorry. We had to be certain. The enemy is devious in his gambits.
When he sets me down, he clutches my face between his long-fingered hands and kisses me firmly on the mouth.
Little Lysander! Ha-ha! They said you were dead, but look at you!
He dusts off my shoulders.
Corporeal as a cormorant, and still a spry dandy of a thing after so long in captivity.
He makes a feint at my face.
Not that spry.
Captivity? Cassius would laugh. I'm not eager to disabuse Ajax of the notion just yet. They said you were your mother's spitting image, I reply. They didn't say you were taller.
It's an understatement. He's far larger.
Awash with joy, he claps my shoulders and leans his forehead down to press it against mine. He breathes deep. Scent has always been his favourite scent.
When we received the family code, we thought it was one of the slave king's tricks. Then we saw your signifier. The complexity of the code was a symphony upon my heartstrings.
He closes his eyes.
Together again.
Together again, brother, I say. It still seems impossible to me, and I hold back because I know the revelations I must share will be held against me. Only when Ajax hugs me after I have shared those revelations will this reunion be real. I mourned for your grandfather. He deserved far better.
Ajax pulls away, his face downcast. Yes, well, he made his mark, didn't he? Now it is our turn.
His eyes break away from our private moment, long enough to survey the Ra. His voice becomes truculent.
Unless you have a new family.
Kalindora clears her throat. With apologies, I greet her with less informality than I would like, and introduce Diomedes and the Rim deputation. In reply to Diomedes's formal bow, Kalindora merely clicks her tongue.
When we received Lysander's communique, we thought you were mummer's fiction, but here you are, bold as alley cats, and just as dusty. On behalf of the Rim Dominion, Diomedes begins before Kalindora interrupts him, your uncle extends his apologies. Atlas would be here to greet you himself, but war is a consuming affair.
Her lovely eyes narrow.
I'm sure you wouldn't know.
Ajax steps territorially between Diomedes and me to measure the Rim Knight.
So you're the eldest spawn of Romulus, and that Venusian whore. How bold you must be to liberate Lysander from the captivity of the traitor.
So that is what they call Cassius. Not ideal.
I suppose I owe you a debt, cousin.
Odd as it is to hear aloud, they are cousins, both with the pure Ra blood of the conquerors in their veins, but, like so many of the dwindling apex genetic lines, they hold little in common except that shared lineage and the layered animosity of ancestral infighting. Diomedes looks at me, then back to Ajax.
I hold no man in my debt,
he replies.
I assume the traitor is dead, Ajax asks.
Diomedes nods.
Did you deliver the killing blow? Did he squeal?
Diomedes does not reply.
I see your aesthetic penury extends to your vocabulary. In the core, it is polite to answer a question when asked.
Serafina's jaw muscles work as she watches her brother suffer the insult.
I take no joy in the demise of an honourable man,
Diomedes says to the taller man, with princely dignity.
But I fear before he fell, he slew your half-brother, Bellerophon.
Ajax startles Diomedes with a laugh. Despite his admitted dislike for his cousin Bellerophon, seeing amusement at the death of a man he knew all his life fills Diomedes with a sense of disappointed understanding. He is in a different world now, where down is up and up is down. One can never really prepare for that.
Bellerophon! Ajax laughs. Never knew the spawn.
Our spies say you were barely better than him with a blade. Tell me, who is the most exemplary of the Rim Knights? You?
I would be a poor judge. But if you measure the worth of a man by his skill with a blade, then I imagine it is the person least like you.
Serafina blinks at her brother as if he just grew horns.
A slow smile grows.
The Rim is not here to be pushed around. Kalindora raises an eyebrow at me.
Ajax, on the other hand, well, he was mocked as a child and does not like it any better as a man.
He circles Diomedes and succumbs to mock rage when he spies the lightning and clouds on Diomedes' cloak.
It seems you wear my crest, good man.
It is not your crest, any more than it was the crest of the man who came before you. It represents an idea. In our case, humility.
Humility? And how is that?
A man is nothing before the storm.
Ajax stands nose to nose with the smaller man.
I am the storm. Take it off.
Oh, Hades, is the shared thought of every single person watching, maybe even Ajax. Atalantia certainly doesn't want him killing or getting killed by a Ra in a hangar bay. Never deny your enemy a chance for retreat. Victory may cost too much.
Why?
Diomedes replies evenly.
I am the Storm Knight of the Rim Dominion. I make no claim to be that of the Core.
Yet you are wearing it in the Core, my good man. How could I bear such a slight to me and to an office which I hold in such high esteem? To do so would curl my cock with indignity.
It's a clever move by Ajax, and a credit to how bright he is. It allows Diomedes a way out. At a toll, Diomedes recognizes it and pays willingly. He removes his cloak and folds it in his hands. Ajax spoils his victory and loses the respect of all but sadists by ripping the cloak from Diomedes' hands and pissing on it. Then Ajax seals up his pelvic armor and looks at me. Do you defend him? With Ajax, you're either with him or against him. Today I cannot afford the latter, and recognize the social stratagem he uses now. It is called requisite disrespect, a protocol of the dancing mask, one of Atalantia's favorite ploys.
Are you quite done, Ajax? Kalindora asks with a sigh.
Ajax wipes his hands on Diomedes' homespun tunic.
Quite.
Serafina has had enough. She steps forward, hand on Kitari, stopped only by a quiet click of her brother's tongue, whatever that click means. She takes it very seriously. 10 obsidian-stained make a guttural sound as they lower their axes. But Ajax and the Core Golds simply watch like a row of patient crocodiles. Now they know there is some hot blood in the Rim after all. Whether it is in an hour or 5 years, they will exploit it, either collectively or individually. I warned Diomedes.
By Juno's cunt! Your catamite is sensitive, Ra,
Ajax purrs, playing it off as a farce, instead of a temperament reconnoiter.
My sister is merely stretching after her long journey.
Diomedes replies.
Sister? Sister?
Ajax asks.
But where are the tits? Do you now sear them off, like Cephe's winged lesbians?
No, but on the Rim we geld unctuous obsidians, Serafina replies. Step closer, Gaja. I'll muster a tutorial.
Ajax bows in amusement at the invitation.
Perhaps later, cousin. But for now I believe Kalindora is at her wit's end with me. Apologies, of course. It is just so exciting to have Ra back in the fold. The last ones were too short-lived.
With large stepping motions,
He mocks how a Julii boot famously stomped Diomedes and Seraphina's elder sister to death. Then he throws an arm around me and motions the Ra to follow. "Welcome to the Ash Legions.